Blog Talk Radio.
With the problem. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I thank it for me. Yes, I am. Ring bang dana day. Dang dana day. Check it. A revolution. Yeah. I'm on sight of revolution. Ring dang dana day. Dang dana day. A revolution. Revolution, dang da da da, dang da da da. Check it. Some corporate people don't come out and them a make big speech, but poor people the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feeling heat. Red country, why oi? Red country, why? The ghetto part of town, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, then broke your bone with stone. Why? So a revolution, yeah. I'm on sight of revolution coming in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution. Government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, come here, so I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. So no more big speech. Time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of separation. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang da da dang, dang da da bang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but poor mongers, idol worshippers, them are sorcerers. Yo, you better come down off of your pumps and try to pick in poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tool, just fool. Sure, cause a revolution, yeah. If we're going to see the revolution, ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding, a revolution, yeah. What a hot revolution, ding da dang da dang da dang, whoa, whoa. No matter how them a come out and a kill off them teeth, yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach.
Cause I don't want to see them all a paving stage. Whoa, cause a revolution. Yeah, I'm on site for revolution. Ring dang 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 dang. A revolution.
Yeah, greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, at Blog Talk Radio. Tonight I pretty much want to talk about the situation with Yasiin Bey and how he's not allowed back into the U.S., and which is really kind of crazy. Yasiin Bey, known to most of us as Mos Def, his upcoming tour has been canceled in the United States because he went to Africa. And the promoters are saying that he's got some legal issues. I think what they're trying to do is to deem him as a terrorist. You know, they go ahead and tie him into some nonsense because he speaks out against a lot of things that's going on in the U.S. and he's been doing that lately with his music. His brother was also waterboarded, and he made a video showing the effects of the old waterboarding thing. You know, I'm going to read some stuff from this article here because this didn't make any sense, really, other than individual. He's speaking out. And when you speak out, you get demonized in America. Brother AC, you there?
Brothers listening, Brother Chef Rob. Brothers listening.
Yeah, how you feeling, man?
Well, everything's everything, man. You know, everything's everything, and as the Jamaican brothers would say, everything is everything in Babylon.
In Babylon, yeah. You know, do you know about that Mos Def situation?
No, I didn't. I'm waiting with bated breath. I'm all ears over here, my brother.
Yeah, so let me read something. I'm going to go from this article here because it says the rapper Mos Def, now known as Yasiin Bey, has reportedly been denied entry into his native United States ahead of his upcoming tour. You know, I feel that they want to cut him off because he wanted to go ahead and put out some more information about what he's seen. Let me see. It says that the Together Music Festival in Boston wrote on its website, "We regret to inform you that due to immigration and legal issues, Yasiin Bey is unable to come back into the United States and his upcoming U.S. tour has been canceled. The details of these issues are unclear, but Bey no longer lives in the United States, and moved to South Africa. He recently told Rolling Stone about the move. He said, I lived in Brooklyn 33 years of my life. I thought I'd be buried in that place. And around 7 years ago, I was like you. You know, I got to go. I got to leave. It's very hard to leave. I lived in a lot of places, Central America, North America, Europe for a while. And I come to Cape Town in 2009, and it just hit me. I was like, yeah, I know when good vibes get to. And, you know, I thought about this place every day when he left. So, and I go to get the other part of the article, man. It don't really give a lot of details on what the U.S. government is saying, but it basically trying to tell you you know the U.S. government, so they came up with some nonsense. When when whites go ahead and leave the country, and they speak out against the U.S., they still allow them to come back. But I think because he changed his name and changed his perspective on life, because he took on that last name Bey, he's declaring himself to be a Moor. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it talks about in 2006, Bey was in court in Brooklyn, New York, for failing to pay his estranged wife, Maria Yipes Smith, $10,000 a month to support the couple's two daughters. according to the New York Post, at the hearing, he told the judge that he could not afford the monthly payments, citing business commitments and obligations to his other children. According to Bay's own timeline, recounted by Rolling Stones early this year, he moved away from Brooklyn not long after that, before eventually settling in Cape Town in 2009. You still didn't hear nothing about that, brother? AC?
Oh, say that again?
You didn't see nothing about that? Because I know called me earlier, you was talking about the what was going on with Obama. I want to get to that later. I want to tie that in to what I know.
Well, no, and you know, it's, okay. You know me, brother.
Yeah.
In this country, nothing that happens to black people surprises me,
mm-hmm.
you know, regardless how egregious. You know, if it's happening to a black man, I am no longer surprised. I mean, I've run the gambit with how they've treated me and my people, you know, in the time that I've been on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, it just I'm kind of hurt that I've always appreciated the brother Mos Def or Yasiin Bey. To my knowledge, what it is that I do know is that I could understand why the United States would have problems with I guess with the name by the name Bey. He's what? He's adopted the Moore philosophy.
Yes, that's what he's done. And see, here's something else. Bey previously laminated tour immigration issues, blaming institutional racism on the track Mr. Nigger. But I go overseas and I get overseas at London's Heathrow, me and my people. They think that illegals are a synonym for Negro.
Uh-huh.
I agree with that. But I think if anything, these people are the illegals in this country.
No.
No? White people not illegal in America?
What was it?
To their rules and laws, they are.
Well, no. If you make the laws, you're not going to make the laws so what you do is illegal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you, when you make the laws, you know, for me, the word United States and hypocrisy are synonymous, because my understanding is, and see, this is the problem that this is the situation. It's no longer a problem. I can't let it be a problem. It would monopolize most of my life if I let these situations be a problem. It is a situation that must be that must be overturned, must be eradicated, but. The problem is, it's so systemic. It's been in force for so long. I mean, you know, it's okay. Where I'm going, all of the documents that these people allege to hold so dear, you must understand that they weren't written with black people in mind. If you consider the point and time in which they were written,
right?
You know, this doctrine of fairness that they've always preached. Which is why I brought up, you know, the fact that I would understand why this country would have problems with Moors, you know, because from my limited knowledge about the Moors, I have been led to believe that Moors were basically financially responsible for the development of the colonies that became the United States of America. Is that not correct? I mean. That's
yeah. And look, if you go through and you look at a lot of these monuments and these structures here, especially in Washington, man, almost everything up and down on the East Coast, you can contribute a lot of those old structures to the Moors.
Exactly. And not just their artisan accomplishments. I'm talking they were a financial backer for what was the original 13 colonies.
Right.
I would suggest, in my limited knowledge, that not only did the 13 colonies, which became the United States, welch on those agreements, but they basically, I mean, you know, not only have the, I mean, if you take into consideration that if the United States was actually to be fair and pay back what they owe the Moors, at this point in time, taking into consideration interest accrued, penalties for non-payment, all of the things that the IRS would hit you up with if you owed them money. If you took that approach with the Moors and what this country would owe them, you think they have debt with China?
Yeah.
But I don't really. You want to talk about what they would owe the Moors? If, you know, I have no, okay, we have a fledgling country that has, we have a fledgling country, you know, if you will, that has basically turned their back on their people to come to this land to create this country. They're not getting any backing from their people. How are they able to sustain this? I mean, even the fact that they stole from the Indians would not sustain them in developing a country. I mean, you know, let's face it, regardless of what period of time you have to talk about, you have to pay for the weapons. Nobody's going to just give you weapons. So some kind of a financial agreement has to be made for you to receive that. And while you're in the process of creating this nation, everything that it takes to build this nation, I mean, you know, they probably haven't, the artisans that did build, you know, most of the structures that we know are famous in Washington, D.C., the artisans that probably built that, I would suggest that they would never pay their due.
But, you know, one thing that strikes me, you know, you talk about, you just mentioned about them, what they took from the Indians, and they, South Dakota, where they still have so much gold there, and then they told the Indians they'd give it back to them, and the Indians told them, no, that's not, they wanted something else, they pretty much want you out the country. So they shut down that argument altogether.
Yeah.
They don't even want to have that discussion no more. They threw that discussion way out. They threw it out a long time ago, and I think it was recent, maybe like 20, 30 years ago. The Indians was like, no, we just rather have you gone and leave a lot of this land.
Throw the Clive and Bundy situation into this now. Okay, now what we're talking about, since you brought up the Indians in South Dakota, let's throw this Clive and Bundy. It's my understanding, and, you know, I'm sick of following this stuff now, but I do keep my ear open. It's my understanding that what was occurring in the Clive and Bundy situation was, you know, they were having problems with the Bureau of Land Management because the Bureau of Land Management was not allowing them to the thoroughfare through land that had been designated as Indian or Native American sacred burial ground.
Right.
They're not, okay? Now, imagine, if you will, someone coming along and decided that they had the right of way, that they should be allowed to drive their ATVs through Arlington National Cemetery.
Right.
And, okay, so what would be the response for that? Would there be some upset white people out there?
Of course.
Okay. And probably some. And so why is it that the Indians can't be, you know, just as upset? And that was the same thing in North Dakota South Dakota. That thing in South Dakota. You're tramping. As a matter of fact, that has been the problem, one of the problems anyway, along with, the, of course, you know, introducing disease and raping and pillaging the villages and all of these other things that the white man, oh, I love that term, even though people want to make it disappear, the white man has done to the Native American. I mean, one of the problems was, man, we can't even die and be in peace. Okay? We're not living in peace, but even when we're dead, I mean, you just basically, I mean, think about the concept of the term walking on my grave, or better still, pissing on my grave.
Right.
That's something to be upset about. But, you know, back to the brother Yoslin Bay. Like I said, it's my understanding that he has taken a very philosophical approach to the situation with black people in this country. I mean, he's not he's not like me. I mean, every opportunity I get, I'm going to advocate for complete overthrow because I think it's the only solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's trying to do it within the same confines as the brother Dr. Martin Luther King. He's trying to do it, you know, in a non-violent manner, constantly keeping, you know, this concept in the minds of black people that, hey, this system is wrong, but we don't want to tear everything up to correct it. We're hoping for a peaceful resolution to this situation.
But here's something, man. But you don't see him trying to organize the masses to go ahead and do like Martin Luther King was doing. You don't see him doing
that.
He's still trying to wake people up, but he's not doing that thing like Martin Luther King.
Well, basically, yes, he is. He's not advocating, you know, like I said, what I'm advocating. Okay. My brother, Malcolm X, I wanted to say his Muslim name, but it fails me right now. El-Hajj El-Malik. Right. Okay. He said the ballot or the bullet, right?
Right.
We won with the ballot, right? We have a black president. For all intents and purposes, we have a black president, right? What good has it done us? The ballot didn't work.
It really hasn't worked at all. You know, it's just like, you know, it's really disappointing to go ahead and see that you got this guy and he knows the problems. And I'm trying to tell people. This guy walked the streets here in Chicago, and you can't change this situation?
Don't be disappointed. See, you're expecting too much. You're expecting something from someone whom you should expect nothing. This is your oppressor. Why would your oppressor give up his position to oppress? There's only one way that's going to be accomplished. You take it from him. Now, you know, I'm not out here advocating anything but intelligence. Understand, you know, first of all, you know, what it is that my dream will never occur unless thousands, millions, hundreds of millions of my brothers die all over this world. Okay? My stuff will never occur. Okay? Like I said, I think I've said it on numerous occasions on your show. The only out I see without causing the death, and even then there are going to be a lot of deaths. The only outing I see is divine intervention. The only way out that I see is, if you check around, that seems to even be coming to pass. I mean, Ice Age proved, whatever happens on this planet, the Earth is going to survive. The inhabitants are not. So if that's what it takes, you know, to turn this situation around, is the complete destruction of everything we know in order to, you know, like I think I quoted the last time I was on your show, and, you know, blow it up and start all over again. If that's what it takes for that to happen, and that's what needs to happen. You know, I mean, you know, this climate change thing, that's the way it's going to happen. I mean, I do, one thing that I do appreciate is the approach in this country right now as it pertains to war. I mean, it just seems so strange to me that this country would be whining, pissing and moaning because the president in office now refuses to send a lot of soldiers over there to die when he can send some unmanned drones over there and do the job that needs to be done.
Them drones going to put some people out of business. Put them out of unemployment line, I mean.
Yeah, them drones are also them drones are one of the things that has diminished the number of people that are going to need our already overwhelmed Veterans Administration system. You keep sending bodies over there, you're going to get bodies back.
Mm.
You keep sending drones over there, some of the drones might not come back, but for me, that's going to create business. Because, you know, you're going to have to build more drones.
Right. Let me read something.
I'd rather get
just middle class comfort, you know. Sure, it's a beautiful place. You got oceans, mountains, botanical gardens, the beautiful people, the history, the culture, the struggle, and everything.
What you talking? Man. You talking about South Africa?
Yeah, he's in South Africa.
No, I'm saying you talking about oceans, mountains, and all of that stuff. Were you talking about South Africa? Because I know you're not talking about the United States being beautiful.
No, he's talking about being over there in South Africa.
Oh, well, Yasmin Bey is talking about how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
It's the motherland. What you want? How beautiful is the mother?
Right. It's you know, and he goes on a little bit, and he's like, let me tell you something. For a guy like me who had five or six generations, not just in America, but in one town in America, to leave America, things gotta be not so good with me in America. You know, he made that decision to go ahead and leave based on what he saw here. But I don't understand the problems in not letting him back. He still got that U.S. passport. They don't put it out. They don't put it out there why they said that he can't come back. But the bigger thing is, hey, look, they're gonna tie that him into this whole terrorism lie. You know, that's one big fake and fraud.
Oh, so he's a terrorist.
Right.
So what does that make Clive and Bundy and his butt?
Oh, they ain't gonna mess with him. He's a white man.
Oh, wait a minute. That is unfair and unequal.
Well, when has America been fair and equal?
That isn't blind justice. That is denying this man, if not his life, then his liberty and the pursuit of his happiness. See, this is what I was talking about. Okay, it's, you know. In the immortal words of Malik al-Shabazz, the chickens have come home to roost, and they've been roosting for quite some time now. I mean, you know, anybody with half a brain notices. You know, this stuff is becoming entirely too obvious. You know, I often talk about 9/11. We were all Americans after 9/11. We were all Americans for all of 1.5 days, as far as I'm concerned. For that one day, September 11th, everybody in America was an American. Black, white, yellow,
right.
Green, what have you. Everybody was American. But on September 12th, after 12 noon, at that time, I was living on the north side of Chicago. I was taking the train to and from downtown to work. And I got off at my stop, and I walked past. And as I was walking past, there were some young black brothers standing on the corner. I don't know what they were doing. But when the police came along and threw them up against the cars and started searching them, I knew that was an illegal search. And it was also an unnecessary search because what they did is, body slammed them up against the car, didn't find anything, let them go, and kept moving. A day and a half after 9/11, we weren't all Americans anymore. It's on to the next one.
Yeah, that's coming. I see it a lot going to work, man, every morning.
Okay, sure.
It ain't changed, and then with the Patriot Act, it got worse, and I think that's what they're going to go ahead and push. That's what they pushing for, to go ahead and to deal with this brother with under that Patriot Act stuff. And something else, he did a video demonstrating what it was like to be waterboarded, right?
Oh,
the video
okay.
was awesome. He broke down and said, hey, look, I can't do this no more. They was force feeding him. They was food feeding him also, man, because he was trying to show, you know, what they were doing to the people down in Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
We're trying to force feed those guys down there doing Ramadans.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, I got you. You know, I mean that, but that, that basically was what was going on at Abu Ghraib. I mean, they are basically totally disrespecting your religion.
Right.
You know, totally disrespecting it. Okay, you know the deal on Ramadan.
Right.
You know, you don't do anything until after the sun is set.
Right.
Okay. And so, therefore, if somebody's force-feeding you, you know, I mean, they're violating you. And you know the deal on our Muslim brothers. You know they, you know how they are about the body of a woman. You know how they are about their own body. So when you violate that, you basically, I mean, and then they act like they're so concerned when some religious Christian zealot is burning the Quran. You know? Well, what are you doing?
Yeah, like that guy in Florida. Remember that guy in Florida?
Right. The movie that I guess he produced. This is the same Tom Jones, I think his name was, which is actually appropriate because I was never very fond of the real Tom Jones or the original Tom Jones either. So.
Yeah, like Tom Jones.
Not at all. I appreciated Tom Jones as much as I appreciated Elvis Presley. And Pat Bone and a white man that couldn't dance their way out of a hole in the ground. And yet,
them was all good Christians. And who said something?
Pat Bone. I believe that is a contradiction in terms right there. Good Christian.
Ain't it?
Because if there was any such thing as a good Christian, this country wouldn't be in the position that it's in. I hope all you Christians out there listening to that. If there was any such thing as a good Christian, if you were indeed a good Christian, there's no way you could tolerate what was going on in this country. And I'm not just talking about for black people. You know, and this is the gist of the situation. You know, as much as they deserve it, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I still can't sit, I still doesn't sit well with me that there are white people out there starving, that there are white people. You know, and the reason that I say that they deserve it is because at one point in time when black people were absolutely positively nothing in this country, they were indeed part of the power struggle. And for a long time, the struggle that black people have endured in this country is the fact that white people who basically had nothing were still superior to black people.
Yeah.
And that began to slowly dwindle. It dawned on black people that, hey, you know, on white people that, hey, you know, we need to up our game a little bit. We need to do something to continue the superiority that we have, you know, over black people. Okay, well, what can we come up with? We can pump drugs into their neighborhood, make sure that there's a bunch of prostitution and disrespect of women. The legislation that actually promotes the destruction of black families. And yeah, I'm talking about child support. I'm talking about the concept of divorce. You know, the media that they've used to suggest that, you know, although a woman should be allowed to do things with her body, I mean, there's nothing glorious or glamorous or even beneficial about what women, especially black women, allow to happen to their bodies in this day and time. So. You know, and all of this has been supported. I mean, you know.
See, you know, one of the things about, you know, I wanted to go ahead and tie this in to, you know, with this brother leaving, because there's a bigger push for reparations. There's a push for...
What was that again? Back to the reparations. What did you say about reparations?
I said there's a push for reparations. I mean, the Caribbean nations are really, really pushing harder than the black people on this side of over here.
Who are they pushing for reparations?
I think they...
England, France, who?
I think it's Europe, period. I think it's Europe, period. I need to go ahead and really, you know,
you're saying that they're following the Jewish model?
Probably.
Okay, well, it worked for the Jews.
You don't think it works for any black folks?
Okay, first of all, this is going to really upset some people, but I truly don't care. A lot of the wealth that the Jews acquired was stolen.
Right.
And the Germans just stole it back from them.
Right.
Reparations, if they were to be paid to black people, it would basically resolve the only people that would have a rationale for giving reparations to black people or white people, because it would allegedly resolve the situation that has existed with black and white people all the time that black people have been here on the cheap. I mean, you have basically destroyed my life for what, almost 500 years now? You've basically destroyed my life, and you're going to give me some money all fine and dandy? Really? So, you know, that's my problem. If you decide to give black people reparations, how much should you give them?
As far as I'm concerned, I'd like to know that amount too.
You could give black people 25 of the 50 states. Better still, you can keep Alaska and Hawaii. Give me 24 of the contiguous United States, the continental United States. Give me 24 of the states. Let me pick them. Damn sure ain't picking Florida. Damn sure ain't picking California. Okay? Let me pick the states that I'm going to get. And let black people, righteous black people, okay, split this country down the middle. Y'all can have Alaska. Keep Sarah Palin up there. Y'all can have Hawaii, because my concern about being in Alaska and Hawaii is if they decide to get antsy about the fact that they even gave up this property and one of those states is Hawaii, you think Pearl Harbor was something. Imagine a bunch of black people in Hawaii. I mean, I went, this is the gospel. This is what God loves. They had a concert in 1978 at Soldier Field, the Funk Fest, Parliament, Funkadelic, a whole bunch of black bands. Soldier Field had 77,000 black people in there. And my concern was that they were going to drop a few bombs inside Soldier Field and wipe out 77,000 black people.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was like 24, 25 years old. And this was my thought process being a citizen of this country. They got a chance to wipe out, a catastrophe has struck Soldier Field. 77,000 black people dead. That's all I could think about until the concert was over and it didn't happen. And this is the mentality of any thinking black person in this country. You call it a phobia. See, this is the deal. Some phobias that I could possibly have, would represent a problem for me. But my phobia about black white people causing the death of a bunch of black people, I think I'm justified in feeling that way. You know, especially at this point in time, you know, you have black people, white people trying to run around saying that black people were actually better off when they were slaves.
Oh, yeah, that Bundy dude.
No, not just Bundy. Not just Bundy. That's the problem. I mean,
yeah, but he's been in the news a whole lot.
Think about that is, Rob. Chef Rob. Okay, Bundy's an asshole. Bundy's stupid, you know. Right. Bundy's stupid and broke. Donald Sterling is stupid and rich. But the idea is you don't have to be an intelligent man to be a billionaire. We all know that.
Right. Okay?
And I'm going to tell you, I'm not surprised that Mark Cuban would come out with his insensitive remark. It's like, okay, I may have said something out of line. Check the mentality. I may have said something out of line. You know, I may have used the wrong word. But fuck it. I said what I said. I told you the truth. And the media actually wants to give him brownie points because he admitted his bigotry? Admitted
right.
his prejudice? What, you get a benefit for that or something?
You know, okay. you can listen, even with the Donald Sterling thing, one of our biggest problems is we got too many bootlegged Negroes, okay? Because you look at that dude who was in the NAACP, he wanted to go ahead and you want to tell everybody, oh, it's okay, it's all right, you know, we can forgive him. Because Donald Sterling was giving him money. How quick are we to go ahead and get paid to go ahead and shut the fuck up?
Well, you know, that goes back to that financial reparation stuff. That goes back to what I've been saying about, you know, most of the time there's someone on your show, Pianki automatically comes to my mind, but most of the time there's someone that is backing this financial approach, I'll call it, to resolving the issue of black people.
Right.
You know, feeding a coal furnace to the point where it's about to blow up, it's throwing off too much heat, and it's destroying everything around it, and the solution is, well, put some more coal in there. Anytime any black accomplishment that produces more money strengthens the very system that oppresses them. Now, I'm not gonna knock a brother for getting out there and getting his hustle on. Because I'm a hustler born and bred. But I always understand that when I do this to my own detriment because I'm feeding the very monster that's trying to kill me.
You know, that's crazy. Let me bring up something real quick. Okay, like I kept hearing some people talk about Yasiin Bey. And saying that he had renounced his citizenship, which I ain't see nothing on that. And it's real strange that you won't let a man, you know, because one of the things you're talking about him is him not making his child support payments. I mean, it just don't tie in. It seems like there's something else going on. I think what it is because of a lot of his views. And to go ahead and not let them in because of that, because you've seen them go ahead and grab people from other countries and bring them back here to deadbeat dads when they're down in these child support. So it just makes no sense because he's going to have a large audience and people go ahead and listen to him. I think the whole thing is suspicious and suspect. One of the things I wanted to go ahead and bring up was that whole immigration thing, the whole immigration thing is really, really flawed here in America. I don't understand why a lot of black countries can't come to the U.S. If you're from a black country, you can't go ahead and come to the U.S. But Europeans have been to war against the U.S. and they can go ahead and come here. But it's even more strange that, hey, look, the U.S. is real friendly with South Africa.
Well, I was just about to say, his legal problems can't be that serious because I'm sure that the United States has an extradition agreement with South Africa.
Yeah.
And so if they wanted him, it would be no problem for them to have him arrested in South Africa.
And he's really not hiding. I mean, the times that he's been to a lot of countries in Africa, and he's going ahead doing a lot of visiting and doing stuff for people over there. He's gotten involved in a lot of different programs to help the situation in a lot of areas. So you know, the whole thing is real suspect.
Well, you know, I appreciate the brother because you know, from a musical perspective, he's not out there talking about hoes, bitches, money, and cars.
Right.
You know that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, his music is the type of music that should really be promoted in the black community. And his music, his rap, was the type of rap that you know. After I got past the Sugar Hill Gang and started listening to some brothers that were really trying to make some statements, Public Enemy comes to mind. KRS-One comes to mind.
Right.
Harry B. and Phil comes to mind. You know, that's what drew me to rap. When I started digging rap was when they started making the music that I used to hear from the Last Poets, that I used to hear from Gil Scott-Heron, that I used to hear, it wasn't so much as rap to music, but that I used to hear when I listened to Dick Gregory, that I used to hear when I listened to, obviously, Malcolm X. I used to listen to Malcolm X on albums, you know. So, you know, that was what I was into, that they were actually delivering a poignant, significant message to the people. I've heard A Message to the Black Man, which was basically an album, I guess, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, I've read the book, I've heard the album, I understand what the man was saying. See, it gives you a deeper understanding, especially when it's put to a soothing or even music that moves you. I mean, you know, music with a beat. You understand what the beat is about. The beat is the heartbeat of Africa. It always has been, which is why it's so difficult for white people to come up with. Because it's the beat, or the heartbeat, or the beat of the drums from Africa. And the beat of the drums of Africa was based on the heartbeat. Okay? So, and this is why it always, I mean, if you ever listen to an African drummer, Wooly Bobo comes to mind. I've heard him. Hugh Masekela and his group comes to mind. If you've ever listened to an African drummer, then you'll understand Africa, because it's like the song, and it's basically, it's always to me, said, come back, you know? And so when I started hearing that, the music with that source, with a message for those people, it couldn't do anything but touch me. So, like I said, the brothers' legal problems can't be that serious because they haven't extradited them. This thing about him relinquishing his U.S. citizenship. Well, first of all, for a black man, it's really not much to relinquish now, is it? Secondly, just because you say I am I am no longer an American citizen, does that mean you can't come back to the country? I mean, you can holler and scream that to the top of your lungs. What does that mean?
It's the more and more I think of it, it really does sound strange.
What?
It really does sound strange. You don't want this man back in this country.
Chef Rob,
if it was a warrant out for him, I mean, they'd be trying to go ahead and kill him, just like you said. But to not let him in,
why does it sound strange?
In the whole thing. It just sounds crazy.
Why does it sound strange to you? You know who W.E.B. Du Bois is. Why does it sound strange to you? You know who Paul Dunbar was?
Right.
Robeson. You know who Paul Robeson was? Right. So why does
it
sound strange?
Even Nina Simone. I had really just started really paying more attention to things that Nina Simone was saying.
You don't want to go there with me because my sweetheart was the one that introduced me to Nina Simone, so you don't want to go there with me. Really. So, first time I ever heard
Nina.
Right.
Well,
so don't go there.
Nina Simone really made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Right down to Lift Every Voice and Sing.
That was her?
Duh.
I didn't know that. Wow, I didn't know. Only the last few years I knew the voice, but I didn't know the politics. I didn't know her views and the interviews and stuff like that. I didn't hear that till later.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't hear that till later. You know, now I know exactly. You know, I won't say exactly, but I know a lot about her, and it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, there has always, up until now, up until this very day, there has always been come on, Chef Rob. What were they? What was the idea behind the spiritual song in the cotton fields down south during slavery?
Say that again.
What was the idea behind spirituals sung in the cotton fields down south during slavery?
Freedom.
Exactly. What was the idea behind Steal Away? Black people have used music for as long as they've been black people.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I'm saying, the more it changes, the more it stays the same. Yeah, we're in change. You just can't see them now. We're an underclass.
You know what? I told somebody that exact same thing, and they told me I was fucking retarded. I don't think they understood what it meant. And it's right now, you know your place. That's what I'm trying to tell them. And now these cats don't, you know, a couple of them I kind of convinced them after showing them a few points, but now they don't.
In this situation, when you're trying to explain something to somebody, start at the top. When you're trying to explain something to black people, start at the top, okay?
It's hard, okay, too, with some of these fucking morons, man.
Well, okay, well, see, don't call them morons, Chef Ron.
Okay, okay, you know, I'll be nice. Hey, hold on, let me take a quick break, man, okay?
Niggas are scared of revolution, but niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution, because revolution is nothing but change, and all niggas do is change. Niggas come in for murk and change into pimping clothes, hit the streets to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde, and old black hair and lips will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change, change, change. You hear niggas say, things are changing, things are changing. Yeah, things are changing. Nigga things into black nigga things. Black nigga things that go through all kinds of changes. The change in the day that makes it madden and rave. Black power, and the change that comes over them at night as they sigh and moan. Light side, ooh, light side. Niggas always going through bullshit change. But when it comes for real change, niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are actors. Niggas are actors. Niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of the great white hope. Niggas try to act like Malcolm. And when a white man doesn't react toward them like he did Malcolm, niggas wanna act violently. Niggas act so cool and slick, causing white people to say, what makes you niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before. But when it comes to acting out revolution, niggas say, I can't dig in action. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L's. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about the mind, talk about my mind stronger than yours. I got that bitch's mind uptight. Niggas don't know a damn thing about the mind, but they be right. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas fuck. Niggas fuck, fuck, fuck. Niggas love the word fuck. They've been there so fucking cute. They fuck you around. The first thing they say when they're mad is fuck it. You play a little too much with them, they say fuck you. When it's time to TTB, niggas are somewhere fucking trying to be nice to them. They fuck over you. Niggas don't realize while they're doing all this fucking, they're getting fucked around. But when they do realize, it's too late. So niggas just get fucked up. Niggas talk about fucking, fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking my sis. Not knowing what they're fucking for. Ain't fucking for love and appreciation. Just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white side, black side, yellow side, brown side. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of side. Niggas fuck Charlie, Linda, and Sue. And if you don't mind out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck if it could be fucked. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. When the niggas play, ain't tight enough to play with some black guys. Niggas play with white guys to see if they still have some play left. And when ain't no white guys to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot off at the mouth. Niggas shoot blue. Niggas shoot traps. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the streets. Niggas shoot sharp branches at white women. Niggas shoot dope until they armed. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year that is coming in. But white police would do more shooting at them. Where are niggas when the revolution needs some shots? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting this shit. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are lovers. Niggas are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to see Clark Gable make love to Marilyn Monroe. Niggas love to see Todd and fuck over NATO. Niggas love to hear an old ranger yell, high old silver. Niggas love commercials. Niggas love commercials. Oh, how niggas love commercials. You can take niggas out of the country, but you can't take the country out of niggas. Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to hear Malcolm rap, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Alright, welcome back to Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. I had to take a quick break. Brother AC, you still there?
Yeah, man, I'm almost in tears.
Why you say that?
Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are scared of freedom. Niggas
are scared of
the situation being bad. Niggas think that they're going to get to the top, and when they get to the top, shit going to be different from them than it is for me. Donald Sterling let niggas know that no matter how high you get, no matter who you are, you still a nigga.
Still a nigga.
You my bad.
Nigga. I mean, think about this, though. But I mean, with Mos Def, him going here, going over there, his message must be, it's going to have to be different. I think that's what they're doing. So he has to have some new music out, something to go ahead and really wake some folks up. This whole thing about them not letting him back in the country is going to go ahead and get him a little bit more support. Don't you think?
No.
No?
Because that is how the brother makes his money. And in the words, in the immortal words of Bobby Moore.
It wasn't about the money. Wait a minute. I think getting him support. I ain't talking about the money. I'm talking about getting him support.
No. Get him for what support? No. What are his issues, Chef?
Living in America is a goddamn issue.
No, what's the facade issue as far as Mos Def is concerned? What's the issue standing in front of him? What is it that this country wants to judge him by? What issue?
His blackness.
No, they ain't judging him on his blackness. I thought he had child support problems.
That's
the superficial issue standing in front of him. And in order to resolve that, he needs to make money. I mean, don't get it twisted. You know, I'm not against, like I said, I'm a hustler born and bred. I'm not against him making money, especially if he's talking about taking care of his family. And if he comes out and he starts telling people, you know, first of all, it wouldn't be that far-fetched. It wouldn't be that out of his zone. But in the immortal words of Bobby Womack, what's going to happen is he's going to have somebody tell him, I like it, and I think you can sing, but you're not commercial. Commercial. You're
so
just
so you're, he's not going to be able to come back. He can't make money. So how can he go ahead and pay his child support, make his child support payment? That's why I say it's suspect. The whole thing is suspect.
Okay. Quincy Jones, all of the blues players, all of the blues musicians that you can think of, they left this country, went overseas, and they made bank and didn't have to deal with the bullshit. He can do the same.
They may not let him in Europe. They may not let him in Europe.
Why wouldn't they let him in Europe?
I don't know. The U.S. with all the agreements and all that other nonsense?
Well, yeah, hey, if push comes to shove, I mean, he can pay his child support in rubles just as well as he can pay it in dollars. I mean, they let Snowden in Russia. Why wouldn't they let him? Too? Come on, man. I mean, you know what? Well, you said that he wasn't allowed back in the United States.
Right.
They're not trying to extradite him.
Right.
So, you know, they don't want him back in this country. I don't think they'd be concerned unless go through his material again, listen, unless he says something in one of his messages that really perturbed him, perturbed them, you know. I don't see them having a problem with him going someplace else and making money and sending that child support back here. I'm sure that he wants to take care of his children. Well, that shouldn't be an issue. The only issue is getting back in this country. And, you know, hey.
You know, the thing that keeps coming to my mind is for individuals saying, hey, look, you know, we're going to make this push and going to go ahead and repatriate. You know,
well,
what happens then when they want to try to come back here? What if they pull that same crap with them?
Ray Charles was kicked out of Georgia, couldn't go back to Georgia again. And the state anthem of Georgia is now what?
Yeah.
What's the state
Georgia
anthem
on
of
my
Georgia?
Mind.
Georgia on my mind. Who made that?
Right.
All right, so it may take a while, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, did some politicians go ahead and lifted that ban on Ray Charles? I think after he died or something like that.
No, right before he died, Julian Barr. So, you know, like I said previously on your show, President Barack Obama is only the first African American black president. Hopefully he will not be the last, and definitely he will not be the best.
Okay,
Jackie Robinson was not the best black ball player that Major League Baseball has ever seen. He was the first, but he was not the best.
Well, I think it's kind of early for Obama to kind of speak out on this issue.
Well, no, you know, President Obama's die has already been cast. And if that doesn't
really
show you the hypocrisy, I take that back. If that doesn't show you the complete hypocrisy of this country and you're black, then you are a moron.
You know?
I mean,
if you threw that word out there,
I know. I said, I take that back about not calling a moron. You know, if you don't see your situation as it relates to Barack Obama, then you are a moron. I mean, before 2008, what was the name, I mean, what was the title that they gave the President of the United States over the world?
Negro Man in Charge? HNIC.
Before 2008.
I don't know, tell me.
The most powerful man in the world.
You can't be black and be that.
I said before 2008.
Oh, okay.
George Bush was the most powerful man in the world. I can't even believe that shit just came out of my mouth. George Bush.
I can't either, man,
because
that ain't like you.
George Bush, as stupid as he was considered the most powerful man in the world. And even the premier and the president of Russia considered him the most powerful man in the world. It is how he was one bullet, he was one red phone away from blowing their ass to kingdom come. But obviously, Vladimir Putin don't consider the president of the United States the most powerful world man in the world. But why
Vladimir
today?
Putin don't even respect Obama, man.
Huh?
Putin don't respect Obama.
Yeah, no, Putin. Yeah, of course not. Why should he? Congress doesn't respect Obama. More than 40% of the United the people in the United States don't respect Obama. 40% of the people in the United States respect Obama a nigger.
There's that word. There's that word again.
I'm not talking about, you know, under their breath. I still go back to some 80-year-old woman out at a gun range shooting at targets and making a statement, think of one of them targets as President Obama.
Well, you had a, I think it was a sheriff over there, and I think it was in New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire, yeah.
Who called Obama the nigger?
You had a congressman at the State of the Union call Obama a liar.
Yeah.
So, you know, how can you expect a president to garner respect around the world when you don't even respect him? This is total stupidity or an ingenious plot. But see, the thing about it is, the thing that white people are missing in this situation, you know, and a lot of black people don't seem to understand. What you think after 2016 or January 2017, that all of the respect that the presidency has garnered before 2008 is going to return on that day? You're a goddamn fool, you know, because you've gone down the road to disrespecting the president. Okay, what, you think that people in other countries are going to say, that president was disrespected because he was black. The next president, who will more than likely be white and a woman, do you honestly think that she's going to garner the same respect that knucklehead Bush did, that geriatric Alzheimer-ridden Reagan did, that lying, cheating, thieving Nixon did? Really? You honestly think that?
Those are harsh words, big brother.
I don't give a fuck. I got some more harsh words for these motherfuckers. Believe me.
Those are real harsh words. You need to be a lot nicer and respectful to your leader in America.
What leader? Who?
All the
Barack Obama?
Those ex-presidents and the current one. That's a lot of disrespect. Okay, big brother?
What? My leader at this point in time is Barack Obama. I am very respectful towards him.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, Rob. Who else has done what the fuck he's done?
Yeah, but he ain't really done too much in the black community, man. And most deaf is one of those people that was speaking out about it because he was talking about the waterboarding issue and what they were doing.
How old is most deaf?
I think he's 35.
35. Okay.
Right.
One thing that most deaf doesn't realize, because he's too young and he probably doesn't consider it, you know, is how far black people have come. And you know, if nothing else, Barack Obama epitomizes that.
Really?
I mean, most deaf seems to not take into consideration that in this country, black people started out being three-fifths human. Do you hear me?
I would say a lot less than three-fifths. They were not.
No, I'm speaking about what the founding fathers said about black people.
Mm-hmm.
They were three-fifths human. And basically what that means is it's okay to fuck them, but that's all.
I mean, what does that really mean? I never really challenged that part.
It means that they're less human than white people, first of all.
So a black person is considered partially human. How do you measure
partially
what it is?
Human.
How do you measure what is three-fifths of a human?
You have to ask, you know, that's white people math. I mean, you know, you have to ask them. See, but this is the point that I'm trying to make. Black people in this country started, I mean, like I'm saying, not Barack Obama himself, but Barack Obama epitomizes the accomplishments of black people. When you through talking.
You really think so?
Who's been in a higher position than him?
Okay, but he can't really do too much. I mean, he's like a puppet in a pond.
Okay, I'll grant you that. Now answer my question.
Okay.
Who's been in a higher position than him? What black
Oprah.
Man has been in a higher position than him?
Oprah.
Who?
Oprah.
You think Oprah is more powerful than the president? Well, when Oprah can pick up the phone and call a fucking drone strike on Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, then you let me know, and I'll agree with you.
Okay, I see
when
your
Oprah,
point.
When Oprah
I see your
can
point.
Get elected to presidency of the United States, not once, but twice, call me and I'll say the same thing.
Okay,
and I would have absolutely positively no problem with Sister Girl being elected president. Don't get it twisted. Because I'd love to have a big mama, a goosenecking, finger-snapping, big-booty black woman in the White House. That would tickle me pink. And it's hard
to
get pink.
You can't have that big-booty black woman in the White House. That just ain't going
to... See, that's racist. I'd love a big-booty black woman. I love a woman in the White House whose booty was bigger than Michelle. I have no problem.
That would be a distraction, don't you think?
I want the sister to be standing up at the podium in the House of Congress, goosenecking and two snaps and a twirl.
Oh my goodness!
and when she walked down the aisle to leave the State of the Union, I want to see that motion in the ocean butt. You know what I'm saying?
The one that
sways like it. You know what I'm talking about.
I think what you're saying is, you want to see all that motion in the ocean, so much motion where you get seasick.
Yeah, I love it. I would love it.
It's like, woo-wee. That is my president. Look at all that booty.
Yeah. Oh, no. You get it, girl.
Get it, girl.
Yeah, so, you know, I would, like I said, Barack Obama is only the first. Hopefully he won't be the last, and therefore he won't be the best.
Yeah, but he's, you know, this is a new issue, so I would really like to go ahead and hear his views and thoughts about that situation. But, he's sitting back for whatever reason, and I don't go ahead and try to...
Chef Rob.
Huh?
A historical perspective here, okay?
Okay.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is a historical perspective. This is the deal. What did Jackie Robinson have to do when he was, first of all, why was Jackie Robinson selected to be the first black ball player accepted into the major leagues? Especially when you consider that Satchel Paige was one of the strongest pitchers in the Negro League back then. That Josh Simpson was one of the most powerful hitters in the Negro League then. Why was Jackie Robinson selected to be the first black player in Major League Baseball?
Because he can go ahead. I guess that he can take being spit on by white folks and don't retaliate.
Because if you spit on Josh Gibson, he going to bust you upside the head with a bat.
He going to beat
you up. If you spit on Sasha Page, he going to shoot you.
Right.
If you call Satchel Paige, just imagine it. They in Ebbets Field. I mean, because I don't see anybody but Branch Rickey hiring the first black ball player. Satchel Paige is on the mound. Of course, he's around. He's in a ballpark full of white people. So I promise you, if not on his person, in his locker, he had a pistol. I wasn't around then, but I would say it was a safe bet that Satchel Paige had a pistol in his locker room. Okay? So, he's out on the mound, and the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, who was known to stand out on the field and harass Jackie Robinson. He's harassing Satchel Paige. In between innings, Satchel Paige is going to his locker, getting his pistol, coming out on the mound and pumping that motherfucker full of lead. So now he can't be the first black ball player. And you know, the same thing stands for Barack Obama. First of all, Barack Obama is partially white. He's basically raised by white people. So he has that, you know. Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, it's somewhat racist because basically what he's saying is, hey, I'm not completely black, which is true.
Mm.
But like I'm saying, you know.
I think a lot of people pointed that out.
Huh?
I think a lot of people have been pointing that out.
It's not Chef Rob. Don't get it twisted. I have ultimate respect for this man, and it's not something to point out. It is a fact. You see what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It is a fact, just like the fact that he's married to Michelle, and as far as I know, he's never cheated on her.
Mm. That's a good bro.
I mean, I would suggest that if Barack Obama ever cheated on Michelle, first of all, there would be a fight in the White House that would, you know, be worth it. You know that sister ain't going to play that. You know, and I promise you, the first thing that will come out of her intelligent mouth is all that bullshit that I've been through with you for all this time that you've been president every day, you know, every day. I mean, it's the same thing, the same problem that Coretta Scott King had with Martin and that Jackie
right.
Jackson had with. All that bullshit
right,
I put
right.
up with for you. All every time you leave this motherfucking house, I'm afraid you're not going to come out. And you got the audacity to be dicking somebody else now? Really? It would be an issue. That's all I got to say. So I would suggest that he hasn't done it. Okay? So I'm just saying, it's a fact. He has not experienced being black in America. Like you have, or like I have, plain and simple.
Being black in America could be a problem.
Listen to you. So, you know, but the props that I give Barack Obama is he broke the ceiling. He broke the color ceiling, which the color ceiling. Is what, and see, this is the problem that I have with black men, women. You know, okay, we had an issue. Now, here's the deal. Here's the true deal. The issue was black versus white. That's what when I was born, that was the issue. Because black people, rich, poor, indifferent, black, you male, female, whatever, they were all in one camp, right? So the deal is, if you break the color barrier, all the other barriers fall. Because that is the most significant barrier. That was the most significant barrier in this country. The stall game was, okay, before we break the color barrier, we're going to break the gender barrier. Okay? So here's what's fair. Here's what's fair. The gender barrier has fallen. Hillary Clinton, for all intents and purposes, could have been president in 2008. Because, you know, her running against John McCain, really?
Yeah.
That was a no-brainer. So Hillary would have been president. So the gender barrier, as it stands, would have been broken because the most powerful man in the world would have been a woman. Okay? The first barrier to fall was the Jewish barrier. You know, they threw that up before they even gave black people their freedom. I mean, you know, because at one point in time, you know, Jews were disparaged just as much as black people, selling black people bad food and have them live them in rat-infested tenements, and they gained a little pride. And, oh, by the way, they did develop the concept of film and basically gangster Hollywood. That's where their basis.
One thing about the Jews is that they had used theater to tell their stories, to go ahead and use theater to go ahead and to get promotion for their cause.
Right. But before then, they controlled.
We're not using entertainment to go ahead and to promote our cause.
Oh,
as
no,
a matter of
fact. When black.
Hold on. I think that we have a lot of black people who don't even think that we have a cause, that everything is fine.
Yeah. I would suggest that a lot of basketball players felt that way until Donald Sterling. Wake up. Well, you know, good morning. I'm glad you finally awake.
I know what's going on.
Okay. Because I am an avid fan of basketball, I hope that when they take Donald Sterling's team, and they're going to take his team, the vote is unanimous, okay?
And no, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, if they had the vote today, it's not. I think it was something like seven owners is against it. I think it's seven.
Okay. Here's the deal, Chef Rob. Because I'm an avid basketball fan, I hope that June 3rd is the vote. Because I'm an avid basketball fan, I hope that the vote is unanimous on June 3rd. But because I was a black man before I was a basketball fan, I hope that there are some dissenting votes in taking Donald Sterling's team. What would that tell you, and what would that tell the players in basketball? And at this point in time, one of those votes that would be in dissension, I believe, would come from Donald Sterling. I mean, from Mark Cuban.
Well, the thing about it is that I don't think that, for me, from what I see, and like you got some players, even the former players are making a more of an issue with Donald Sterling, not the current players. They're all, to me, they ain't really saying shit.
Yeah, well, you know, the former players. Except for players like, another vote in dissension, I would suggest, is going to be Jerry Reinsdorf, who used to be, for all intents and purposes, Michael Jordan's owner.
he got him a good nigga.
I didn't say that. But I'm sure that Jerry
That's
Reinsdorf,
what you meant.
Yeah, okay. So stop reading my mind. Listen to my words. I'm sure that Jerry Reinsdorf feels that he gave Michael Jordan home and clothes and cars and women. Oh, Michael Jordan had women.
Yeah.
And food. You know, I'm sure that Jerry Reinsdorf feels the same way about the situation as Donald Sterling does. He just wasn't stupid enough to say it. But he did say that Michael Jordan wasn't worth the $30 million a year that he paid him. Even though he brought billions of dollars to the Bulls. Billions with a B. He brought billions of dollars to the NBA, which, of course, Jerry Reinsdorf got a cut of. And yet still, Jerry Reinsdorf had a problem paying him $30 million a year. Now, hell, Kobe get that much. And Kobe ain't nowhere near as deserving.
And you know something? Some people seem to think when they're paying them that kind of money that, hey, look, they're pretty much breaking up. Come on, man. If you look at what they paid an individual working at McDonald's, okay, the information out there, put that up to the CEO of McDonald's. I mean that gap disparity is outrageous. These guys are making 400 times what the average worker is making. So when Reinsdorf was paying Jordan that $30 million, he had to be getting made making good money too. So he wasn't hurt.
Chef Rock.
I'm listening.
In your neighborhood. Okay. If you found a man to the ground, if you put your boot on a man's neck and ground his head, you know, into the ground,
mm-hmm.
what would be your fear about that man? You didn't kill him. He lived.
I wanted to control him.
Huh? What would be your fear about that man?
I wouldn't handle fear if I got you down. The fear I might have is that he get up, he might go ahead and get a little energy and do the same thing to me. So I would have to make sure his head smashed into the ground.
Yeah, but like I said, even if you did that, you didn't kill him.
In the situation
that I'm talking about, would be money. If that man that you ground into the dirt didn't kill him, ever got power, ever got money,
mm-hmm.
your ass is in trouble. Now you think about the white race as a whole. The worst thing that can happen to them.
I'm listening.
Who have they done the most dirt to? And I have always quite of the Native American. But
you know what?
The Native American has experienced every unfairness that black people have except one. They weren't enslaved or denied for almost 500 years. I mean, how many black people in this country? And that's where the concept, I believe, came from. How many black people in this country have their own land that is protected by the federal government? And how many black people in this country own casinos? And although, this is why I say what I say about representation. American Indian, Native American, they have reservations. Fuck around and do something on that reservation, and the federal government is gonna get in that ass, okay? To make up for some of the things that have been done to American Indians, that they were given casinos, okay? Of course, once again, like I stated about black people, Native Americans took what amounts to reparations. White people got out of this situation on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about it is, Native Americans have this belief. I mean, they tried the revolution thing. It didn't work too well for them. I mean, it's really hard to stage a revolution when you shooting arrows and using knives and you got to deal with a Gatling gun, or even if you got rifles. If you got a rifle and U.S. Army comes along with explosives, Gatling gun, you're going to lose. And that's exactly what happened.
I don't ever remember seeing a situation where the Indians had made bullets. I don't think I've seen a situation where the Indians had made their own bullets. They did. I don't think they did. I think most of a lot of the arms they got from when they made raids and stuff like that. But I can look that up. Hold on, I got somebody else on the line. 111, your line is open. State your name. Where you calling from? 111, going once, going twice. I think they just listening. Your line is open. We leave that open. I got a few people. They didn't have their hand up. But here's something. Back to the brother real quick. I want to go ahead and see. I want to go ahead and see some more interviews from this brother. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I want to go ahead and hear some more about his side. And really, the media over there in South Africa should be jumping on this if they're not, because I think they got a little bit. They ain't gonna be so much like. Dealing with like the U.S. media.
Have you tried reaching out to the brother?
Actually, I just started. I seen some of the story yesterday, And then,
have
like,
you tried,
I seen some of the story yesterday. I started reading some of it today. And the people I know in Johannesburg, I haven't started to call them yet. Because I still got to...
Have you tried... Rob, Chef Rob, you have a radio show.
I'm trying to go ahead and have some people that's there already to go ahead and see if they can reach out to them. Okay.
And Chef Rob.
Yeah.
Do for self.
Do for self. Okay, well, I'll put forth a little bit more effort.
The worst he can do is say no. You tell him about your radio show. Tell him, you know, hey, look, we reach a small audience, but the people,
okay.
I don't even know how small your audience is anymore. When you tell him you
I
have
get,
a radio show, you hook up here.
I get more people download my show than I actually, I get a few people in my chat, but
exactly.
I get more people in and download my show. That really amazed me.
Just tell him you're not, you know, of course you have no problem if he wanted to be on your show and state his case on his own. But, you know, you're not trying to get him to be on the show, but you would like to know what his situation is so you can talk about it intelligently on your show.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I mean, once I start going ahead and putting...
I truly like to hear what the brother has. I like to hear the brother's music, but if he's having an issue with this country, and I've been having an issue with this country all my life, I'd really like to hear it.
You ain't got no issues with this country. Stop saying
that. Huh?
You ain't got no issues with this country.
I ain't got no issues with this country?
No. Loving this.
The day I was released from the hospital, my mama had to take me to Jewtown. What did you say? I was born in the Cook County Hospital, and I don't give a fuck what anybody says. You know, because everybody's trying to say that the Cook County Hospital is this and the Cook County Hospital is that. The Cook County Hospital back in my day was where they sent black people, hoping most of them would die.
I don't think much of that has changed.
Okay, so that's where I was born. And you say I ain't got an issue with what?
Okay. Maybe I spoke a little incorrectly there. Okay.
My grandfather and my uncle, my grandfather and my grand uncle, used to live in Mississippi. They were given 24 hours to get out of town, and you telling me I ain't got an issue with what?
Okay. Maybe you have a slight issue with this country.
Slight issue, yeah, slight issue. You know, I ain't busting no grapes or anything, but. You know, there's a great deal of bitterness in my heart for this country.
I mean, you know, and here's something else dealing with that brother. He not letting them come here, that creates a financial burden. He always talk about, you know, the whole thing is just suspect. You know, that creates a financial burden. You can't pay your bills. That's how you support your family. And they always talk about family, especially the right-wingers. Always talking about family values and family this and family that.
His
family, but not let him do a concert tour.
The ruling class in this country act like they're God.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because who else other than God giveth and taketh away?
Ooh.
Huh?
Ooh, yeah. Well, they run everything.
Oh, by the way, go into your last poet stash and play, because the white man got a God complex.
You know what? I didn't download that one, but I got that one too. But the only one I really like, the one I've been playing a lot of is Niggas Are Scared of Revolution, which, you know.
Like I said, after you came back from the break, I was damn near in tears, man. Scared of revolution.
that's funny because it's a wake up call. And like I said, I think that brother has a message to go ahead and promote at his concert. That's one thing I really feel.
If you think that to that brother, tell him about your show. Tell him you just want to hear his idea and you want to spread it to the people. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
That's okay. Well, I'm gonna get hot on it. I just found out about it yesterday, and it just popped up recently. So, Johannesburg. Let me try to get in touch with him and see what he's doing.
I've been incognito here for a while. I haven't been on the computer, so I haven't been, I haven't been keeping abreast of what was going on. But you know, if you gonna start to power up your show, then you know I'm gonna start to hone my skills, you know, sharpen my chops, and get my swerve on, really, and you know, be able to contribute. I mean, because see, you know, all I'm doing now is being historical about my feelings about this country. I mean, my like I said, my stuff started developing when I was born in this piece. You know, I was born right in the unfairness. See what I'm saying? So now I have, fortunately, you know, being a hustler, and because my people, like I said, I was a hustler born and bred, which means that when I was born to hustle. You know what I'm saying? And the reason that they was hustlers, because back then, that was the only way to survive. Hustle to survive is a reality to me, not just a song. See what I'm saying? So, you know, I know how to get paid. The only problem that I have now is I really want to get paid legally. I really want to pay taxes on my money so I can get an income tax return at the end of the year. You know, I'm on that stuff now. But, you know, I really had an affinity for untaxable income. What can I say? You know, because and the reason behind untaxable income for me, number one, I didn't have to split my share. You know, I didn't have to share mine with anybody. And number two, I wasn't feeding the monster. But then again, I guess I was feeding the monster because, you know, legal fees and all that other stuff when you do what I was doing. You know, the monster got a little taste, but he wasn't taking one every whop. You understand what I'm saying? But like I said, I want to pay taxes now because I want to pay the kind of money where the taxes won't matter. I want to make the kind of money where the taxes won't matter.
I want to pay taxes now. Boy, you sound crazy.
No, seriously. You know, I want to make the kind of money. I mean, you know, and plus, the more money I make, don't close those loopholes on the Cayman bank accounts and the Swiss thing. Don't close that stuff yet. Wait till I get my dibs in. You know, that's what I'm on. Because in all honesty, if I had a Swiss bank account right about now, I'd reach out to the brother because I appreciate him so much and see if he needed a financial boost until further notice. You know what I'm saying?
I
wouldn't even charge him the going rate. You know, I'd just say, hey, look, handle your business. You know, the situation is, you know, such. Pumping out your story. Keep playing your music. And, you know, this is a little, you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of money I want, to be able to help a brother like that, because I appreciate what it is that he's done for the community. I've appreciated him in the movies that I've seen him in. I've appreciated some of the music that I've heard him make. I've appreciated his tutelage of brothers like Wale. What's the other brother that he turned
on?
Let me
give you something else real quick, because that gives me something. I mean, this is, now that I think about it, and majority of the African economies are growing at a faster rate than the U.S., this could be a good thing for them, really. You know, go ahead and say, look, this is where I'm at. Let me go ahead and do what I can over here and really prosper, I think.
Didn't I just say that other brothers from this country have split this country in one place else and made buku money, and then at some point in time were allowed back here?
It took me a minute for me to realize it, okay? So now I see it.
I still don't like the idea of this country denying him his citizenship. I still don't like the idea of this country basically saying you can't come back to the place where you were born and raised. I don't appreciate that. So, you know. I mean, because, see, you know, for me, you know, to deny black people born in this country access to this country, really?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, one thing Pianchi was pointing out. You know, that passport you got. You know, hey, that shit was you still a U.S. citizen.
Yeah. Okay. So Pianchi ain't completely stupid. So what?
Be nice, man. Be nice. Pianchi's good people.
Now you bring up the subject, you're gonna bring out my venom, my bile. Sorry.
Okay, man. But hey, look, it does have that passport does have its benefits. But in this case,
yeah.
It ain't got no benefits.
Yep.
You know, they just go ahead and just threw it on out the window, man. Hey, fuck that. We don't want you back. I'm gonna go ahead and put forth a great effort and go ahead and speak.
And what's really gonna piss you off?
Uh-oh.
Is when they allow Edward Snowden back into the country and they don't put his ass in prison. That's really gonna piss you off.
Yeah.
I was
that the brother
Yoffelin Bey has done nothing in comparison to Edward Snowden. Now I'm not predicting anything. You know, I just feel that this country is capable. Because, you know,
I did not think of that.
Think about this. You know, when the Edward Snowden situation first happened, this country was basically trying to downplay it. I thought that they were basically saying that the material that he's gotten really can't harm the United States. Oh, really?
If it didn't, so why they looking for him so damn much?
Hey. Have you been paying attention?
But
here's
something else. Okay, big brother, let me show you something else. You know, they that what you just said. You know, they looking for him a whole lot, but and then they want to go ahead and you. This just shows you how powerful the media is in this country here, man, and it's controlled by politicians and rich folks. But it's serving a certain segment of this society. And it's not going ahead and giving you that biased, that unbiased opinion like they want to try to portray. Because almost every news affiliate, almost every one of them has gone ahead and condemned Snowden and said how horrible he is, what such a bad person he is, man. But you ain't had too many people go ahead and say, hey, look, you know, what he did was told the truth or he pointed out some stuff. You know what I mean?
I've heard him called a hero.
Okay. Do you think he's a hero?
Do I think he was a hero?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'd be very, to answer your question, I'd be very satisfied if this country was brought to its knees. Then they'd know how black
he's a hero.
Yeah. I'd be very satisfied to see this country brought to its knees just so they will know. You know, here's the deal. And
he's a hero to black folks?
No, hero of this country. Because it is my firm belief that this country actually can, in the words of the Dr. Martin Luther King, live out its creed. If it did, then it would be the most powerful country in the world. If it was to accept all of special black people. Why do I, and I don't say especially black people just because I happen to be one of them. I say especially black people. This country is always talking about its fairness. Well, fairness says that you have to do something above and beyond for black people to bring them back to their position as true citizens of this country. Why is it that you have to go above and beyond? Not because black people are helpless. You have to go above and beyond to make amends for what it is that you have done to black people since they've been here. And what is it? What does it, when you have to atone for your sins, what's the first step in atonement? What's the first step in atonement?
I don't know.
Call a Jew and ask him.
Huh?
Call a Jew and ask him. Because that's what Yom Kippur is, the Day of Atonement. The first step in atonement is admitting your transgression.
Mm.
So in other words, this country would have to come out and say, yeah, we have participated and or allow the total degradation of the black race. We wish to apologize for that now. Completely.
Oh, you ain't getting that shit.
Well, then this country is doomed. This country's doomed.
You are not going to get that one there.
I'm not asking for this because I'm black. I'm asking for this because I love to be an American patriot. Plain and simple. But I can't be an American patriot. I can't be a true American patriot until you atone for your sins that you've done to me and mine. I'm sorry. That's the way I'm built. And I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way.
Mm.
I'm sorry. So, if you want this country to be the powerful country that you have lied and stated that it is, then live out your creed. All men are created equal, and they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among them being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as far as black people are concerned, you know this country has no problem taking our life. You know this country makes money off of taking our liberty. And you know this country gives a fuck about our happiness. So all that shit, all of that ideal, noble shit that they talk and preach and write about and suggest that they hold dear don't mean shit to black people because we ain't lived it yet.
Exactly.
And anybody that thinks, and any black person that thinks that we do is a motherfucking fool, a moron.
A moron. See that? You told me don't use that word.
Yeah, well, unless it fits.
In special circumstances and situations.
Special circumstances, that word fits. Yeah. Like I said.
Yeah, because I think it's Pianchi, a whole lot of...
The thing about it, a brother like Pianchi, just imagine how filthy Mac rich he would be if black people were equal citizens in the United States. Just imagine how rich he would be then. Mm.
That's the point.
Because he ain't shaking no ground now. Is he in Forbes? Is he in the billionaire club? If he got a little bit of anything, if this country lived to its creed, Pianchi would be a billionaire. If he's accomplished what it is that he says that he's accomplished under these circumstances, if these circumstances were to end, and in this country all men were created equal, he'd be a billionaire. And if you think he would be rich, if this country lived up to his creed, then what would that make the Kennedy? What would that make them ignorant-ass motherfucking Koch brothers? What would that make Mark Cuban? That billionaire.
Yeah, well, Pianchi still, he is a good brother. His heart's in the right place, though. You know,
say what?
Pianchi's a good brother. I mean, his heart's in the right place.
His heart's in the bank. But, okay, I'm not going to argue that point with you. All I'm saying, and you can't argue the point with me, that if this country did indeed, because, Rob, what I'm talking about, okay, a little physics for you here, you know. A structure is only as strong as its base. You heard that before?
Yeah, that part I heard.
Physical concept, right?
Right.
The base of this country are its poor. They're at the bottom. They don't even want to be the base, but they are. And this is what poor people, and let me tell you, in this base, there are black bricks, white bricks, yellow bricks, red bricks, brown bricks. But they are at the base. They are at the bottom, which means, you know, it always amazes me, especially your boy Mitt Romney. I know you voted for him. It always amazes me this. Makers versus
heard
takers.
That, Jeb. I heard that. Go ahead.
it always amazes me, you know, when I think about his makers versus takers syndrome. You know,
yeah.
Syndrome is an illness, okay? Because, you know, when he's through talking, all the shit that he's accomplished because there are so many people beneath him. Don't you understand that, okay, the saying goes, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Because he got one eye. At least he can see more than anybody else. So in the land of money, you know, poor people are at the bottom. okay? And this country is based on this reverse, you know, on this reverse psychology that, you know, if I mean this land is based on a ridiculous psychology that, well, first of all, I think that their fear about poor people growing, developing wealth, is that after they develop wealth and they start to live good, the next thing that they will start thinking about is, hey, the big payback. Yeah, I got a little something now. You motherfuckers did me and my people wrong for all these years. And they would be, because the truth, as I see it, the truth of the United States of the America, it is the last best hope for this world. But it's not going, you know, it's not going to come to fruition if you keep operating it the way you're operating. Like I said, first of all, the greatness of this country, I mean, first of all, this country has been stagnant for 6 years. About what it's been able to do, what it's wanted to do, nothing has been accomplished. Now, you might sit up there and blame, the President of the United States and his administration. But as I understand it, this country is based on a three levels of government system. So the failure of this country in the past 6 years can't be dumped on the lap of the president alone, the Congress, and the judicial system have to take a third of the blame. Understand that, okay? Barack Obama and his administration, because of the way this country is built, if there's a problem, the executive branch gets one-third of the responsibility for that problem. The congressional, the legislative branch gets another third, and the judicial branch gets another third anytime this country fails in anything. There are three branches of government responsible for that failure. And you can't put 100% of the blame on Barack Obama and his administration. They can only get a third of the blame. So what happened? Who's responsible for the other two-thirds in the failure of this country? The legislative and the judicial branches. And never forget that. They share the responsibility of this country equally, divided into three parts. So if this country fails, those other two are just as much to blame as the president.
Good point.
That's mad.
Hey, brother, coming to a close here, you know, this is what I want you to really come to my show tomorrow. My show topic is black veterans and the disrespect from the black
veterans. Oh, my God. No, you don't want me. No, you don't want me there.
Yes, I want you because I did a show like that, and it got a little heated. Let me tell you why. Because again, I came across that conversation with some individuals, and the thing just, I'm like, this oh man, this the nonsense I was hearing from these cats, man, was ridiculous. Why did you join? You know, they can treat you like that because you join, you volunteered yourself. It was some other silly stuff, man. I couldn't even really remember that stuff. It was just the fact that this cowardly ass person would say something anywhere remotely like that and not even understand what really went on. And my biggest question to anyone who says that kind of stuff is, okay, so what was the alternative? You didn't have nothing in place. Okay? What did you have in place? You know, you're going to tell me I shouldn't have joined. So what was the alternative for me at that point in my life? So, yeah, pretty much I get crickets when I hear that shit. So, yeah, I want you to be on tomorrow, man. So you going ready for that? That one's going to be kind of wild.
Yeah. You don't want me on that show, man.
Yes, I do want you on that show,
not
man.
Only did I, not only did I give this country 4 years of military service, but I've also worked for the Veterans Administration. You don't want me on that show.
Yes, sir. I do want you to deal with that show, man.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to deal with that show. You better be on
that. You know, it's cathartic for me to be on this show. But there's a negative side to a cathartic situation. It opens very, very old, very, very deep wounds. It helps in the process of healing, but it doesn't I enjoy, getting this out of my system, understand that, but it doesn't resolve my issues talking to you on this show. I still have to deal with this after you sign off.
That is, there was another reason why I need you on the show, man. We about to sign off right here, because I need you to be there, man. You need to go ahead and bring your veteran support, okay?
Oh, God. All right, man. All right, another thing. I enjoy the contributions of your other guests and so forth and so on when they did call. But it was very good for me to be able to talk to you one-on-one about some of the things that I'm going through. And, I also want you to know, and I also want your other guests to know, that there are sometimes I actually put my hand in my mouth and bite my fingers to keep from pressing that one button, lets you know that I want to be a part of the show.
Okay.
Just to listen to what other people say. But sometimes I just can't resist and I punch it. And then there are times like this where I looked at it and I ain't heard from you in a while, so I just came in on my own. So like I said, it was very cathartic for me to be able to talk to you one-on-one about some issues, about the thing that you brought up and so forth and so on. But I do sometimes like to just listen to your show. I'm out there, Chef Rob. I'm out there. So, I like to just listen to your show. I like to not make comments. I like to because I can sit over here and listen to your show and do a little chefing over here on my own and, eat a meal and, I can do that sometimes, listening to your show. Yeah, I have a great deal of fun listening to your show. And like I said, I get this cathartic sensation every time I participate in your show. And it gives me an opportunity to vet my spleen.
Well, some things are evolving, so I'm going to share that with you next time I see you, okay?
Okay, on one condition. You promised to me that you try to reach out to the brother Yasleen Bey and just find out what his story was. Now, if you can take that further and have him call in and listen. He doesn't have to participate like me. Have him call
right.
in and listen, especially if he gives you the information about what his situation was.
Okay. We're going to try and work that out. I only got a minute left, brother.
Okay, so I will tune in tomorrow, and I hope that there are other guests involved. I'll tune in and listen, and then I'll make the decision as to whether or not I want to come in. But you're going to be talking about the Veterans Administration and veterans
yes.
in general. And that's going to be very, very difficult for me to resist. Very difficult.
Yeah, we're going to do it. I get what you buy.
Good. And find the white man got a God.
I talk to you. That's my show.
One more thing. The white man exists.
We know this.
In my mouth, watching T.J. Dre, Dangerous Mind, just like Coolio, only church I know, is Snoop Dogg Studio, White Owl's raps, roll in my lap, grab the Hennessy, get the ass a tap, I'm glad that I didn't move down south, take care of my kids, be the man of the house, orange mushrooms and yellow stars, fat bags of Beatles in mason jars, get in the lap, come on, jump in, drink a bottle of gin and two of your freaky friends, oh fuck it, let's go to see the point, bring your son along, shit, he can hit the joint, cause rapping is a four-time job, all I want is smoke weed and praise God, yeah.
I wake up praising God every day. And we're sitting over here at 16-5-0 Conan. And ladies and gentlemen, come in.
praise God with us. Woo! At Grady Grace, Baptist, Catholic, Jehovah Witness, Tabernacle. Yeah, come praise God. Yeah, service Sunday at 4:20. Brothers and sisters, Sunday at 4:20. Come on, praise God. Just tell you some more weed.